Many who have heard me preach will detect my love for Hosea. His prophecies cover a period of some 60 years, and it would be stimulating to have a complete file of all his messages. This last chapter is a summation of his faith that survived his ministry. He anchored his soul that God is love. He proclaimed divine generosity. These were mainstays of his preaching. He preached in metaphors. He used the wealth of his nation to preach the wealth of God. He was easy listening, almost a country western style. I will be as the dew unto Israel. It was apropos to Hosea's audience. Dew isn't as meaningful to us as it was to them. The clouds are our friends. Our songs and poems bless the rain. Hosea lived under different conditions. Judea knew great heat and little rain. The dew was everything. It sustained life that otherwise would have vanished. It pinpointed truth for his audience. Three circumstances render this metaphor appropriate for God's care for his people. First, the dew falls regularly. It's not seasonal. It is never precocious. It may or may not rain. The dew is constant. It is an apt picture of God's grace. God's grace will sustain me daily. God's ability to save me is never in question. It isn't spasmodic. Depending upon revival campaigns or summer camp meetings, it is without interruption. Second, it comes quietly, not like the roll and the crack and the flash of great thunderstorms. It comes unobtrusively at night. It avoids the glare and publicity. The grace of God doesn't shout its wares. It doesn't conduct an advertising campaign like soft drinks to impress the public. It doesn't jostle furniture and theater and sports and hardware for space in the media. Suddenly the convert is a fact of life. Dramatically, the shattered marriage has been healed. The debasing habit has been broken. It's been accomplished without tumult and accreditation. Third, there's a mystery connected with it. We really can't manufacture it. The best we can do is with our sprinkling systems. Hosea says that God contracts these blessings to Israel. It's a big message. It involves faithfulness in the divine initiative toward her. It says, in essence, that while they rest, God will work for them. And the longer I preach, the deeper I move into the Word, the better I know Christ, the more I marvel at the intent of heaven. The power committed toward us is ceaseless. I feel it when this great choir sings, "Oh, the peace that Jesus gives." My soul would languish if it had to depend upon my own forage for it. It is the secret supply that Christ provides that upholds me. Hosea proceeds with a further metaphor. Shall grow or blossom as the lily. He has certain characteristics in mind: beauty, rapidity of growth, amazing productivity. The lily is always associated with purity. I'm attracted by this metaphor. Shall grow as the lily. The believer does not blossom or develop under rigidity. You can't produce New Testament believers by assembly line technique, by running them all through the same mold, by packaging them. There must be freedom and spontaneity. But the lily is extremely fragile, and its span of life is brief. It is something out of another world, too lovely to be mauled or tramped by the herd. It has a smile that speaks of better things in a better world. Hosea quickly uses another metaphor, a direct contrast to express another truth. He shall cast forth his roots as Lebanon. That is the cedar of Lebanon. It's a picture of firmness, and it is a picture of vigor that lasts. The roots cast themselves around the rock. The tree can withstand the storms. That's where to be anchored, sir, to the rock. When you are, you can prevail through bids of the world, the flesh, and Satan to wreck you. You really build strength under their assault. And the next metaphor Hosea uses is, his branches shall spread. You can't stop the witness of God. History answers you, unbeliever. The seed of Abraham is here to stay. You can't destroy Israel, and you can't destroy the church. The imagination is threadbare from schemes to eliminate God's testimony upon earth. The testimony grows under persecution. The roots spread. The branches thicken. The church is the despair of hell. Nothing on this planet multiplies like the gospel. It is the envy of every manufacturer, politician, and farmer. Everywhere there are building permits for new churches. In spite of inflation, shortage of materials, and hesitant bank credit, that's the answer to the infidel and the critic. His beauty shall be as the olive tree. You can tell from this bit of picture language that Hosea had an oriental soul. That soul sees beauty in the olive tree. The beauty is more inward than outward. It is the service, the durability, the reliability which count. It is not in the outward appearance. So in the believer, it is the beauty of holiness, that selflessness that counts. This country western preacher of Israel, so easy to hear, so easy to understand, goes on to say, and his smell as Lebanon. We're all very fragrance conscious. Some meetings, some testimonies, some promotions, some pulpits leave a bad smell. Everything isn't as advertised. But cedar always speaks of health and preservation. God means to restore that fragrance to Israel and to his church. He wants his witness to be something different, and he means to cleanse everything that is cheap and nauseating. There will always be room for good people on this planet, in government, in business, in our school systems, in our recreation, and his smell is Lebanon. What do people say about you as you move among them? What kind of scent do you leave? Could they trace you for good or evil as easily as bloodhounds track? Our influence is that fragrance. Will your neighbor or your business associate say about you? And his smell as Lebanon or cedar. Hosea says, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. I've spent my life, mister, dwelling under that shadow. Early in life, I was urged to do otherwise. I grew in a preacher's home. The discipline was strict and enforced. The budget was terribly small. There were prayers, lots and lots of them, and Bible reading. There were church services, a lot of them. There was no theater. There were no cocktails. There was no gambling, no dancing, no wild parties, but there was no divorce. My parents loved each other through 50 years of romance. There was no drunken aftermath, no broken furniture and smelly, empty liquor bottles. There were no doubts. There was an atmosphere of faith. There was something about that shadow that beckoned me, made me return. There is a sense of home, security, peace, right, the heart of God that no other invitation possesses. And I've never regretted my decision. The preacher adds a further metaphor. They shall revive as the corn. There are depressions. There are feeble moments. I've preached sermons that weren't very good by any standard. I've felt weariness that argued with me to quit. But the miracle keeps happening. It's like the nation of Israel. It may look like a cemetery of dry bones. Suddenly the quickening is present. You're divinely stirred. The message pours from anointed lips. Your soul grips eternity. Your strength is renewed. Results give birth to new churches. God provides the seasons of refreshings. You experience vigor and boldness. And a world system sucks you dry. But the Spirit of God flows revival through your being. It's the true pickup. He restoreth my soul. That is a guarantee. And grow or blossom as the vine, he says. Hosea preached with a note of confidence. His audiences experienced faith as he preached. All the preceding metaphors imply power to stand alone without extraneous support. The stately cedar, the delicate lily, the thin cornstalk rear themselves erect. But the vine is not intended to stand upright by its own power. It must lean on something. It must be tied to another. Hosea knew that it must be the secret of Israel. And it is the necessity for the believer as well. Without him I can do nothing. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. And I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We're all Samson tragedies without that alliance. Easy targets for hell and the flesh. Hosea concludes with the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. The margin substitutes the word memorial for the word scent. Experienced tasters speak of the pleasant taste that lingers on tongue, palate, mind, and emotions long after the liquid has passed the throat. The thought is that something abides, and I think as you accumulate years and miles, this becomes uppermost. What counts for eternity? What survives the test of time? There's so much that is froth. It's horrid to be a castaway, a worthless reject. You have been wrung out, scavenged, abandoned. That is the story of sin. The believer moves from glory to glory. His future is assured. There are no regrets. The Christian dies the way you will want to check out when your turn comes, sir. He leaves behind an unashamed record. But the sting of death is sin. Hosea, the country western preacher of Israel, put it all there. The witness of God upon earth is blessed with the freedom and the beauty of the lily, the strength, expansion, and self-propagation of the cedar, the usefulness of the olive, the recuperative power of corn, the fertility and tender clinging of the vine, the abiding memory of the wine of Lebanon. Those are the combined properties which make a real man a real woman. And as I move toward the late innings of life, I confess, without rancor or any sense of snide self-righteousness, that I find a desire within to be such a person rather than the examples widely advertised by Broadway and Hollywood. I can only report the tug I experience within. I have a feeling that you're experiencing the same thing. Hosea knew his audience felt the same way. There is a reach from home that touches the outward bound and says, "Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise turn away." So now, do what your soul promises you to be the right direction. Miracles of forgiveness and cleansing must be performed at this altar. There can be no turning back. People sorry for their sins are kneeling at the great service and are praying. And in 10 seconds, the long, long altar will be in full action.
There's room at the cross for you.
Bessie Bottorff, Franklin Park, Illinois, is with us at the long, long altar. Her condition had been desperate. Her husband was shackled by the impoverishing sin of gambling. And she says, "Brother Ward, before you led me to the long, long altar, I felt like suicide. My mind had lost all power to think sanely. I couldn't believe what was happening to me. I report victory from God. With all my heart, I praise Jesus for the answer. And I kneel with you, and tears tumble down my cheeks because life is so different. Yes, there's power in Christ's name. It's the authority which commands sin's fetters to snap. My prayer mingles with yours. Victor of Calvary, we come in the authority of thy name. We lift it against drunkenness, gambling, pride, blasphemy, lust, jealousy, unfaithfulness, cruelty. Smash every work of hell. We rejoice in the gladness, the restoration of health, the reestablishment of marriage and home, the happiness of children, and peace of mind that are found at the long, long altar. We're dedicated, Jesus, to share thy gospel with others. It is the answer to everything that is despicable, filthy, and inflicts guilt. We thank thee for benefits which are sent our way constantly. It is great to be a Christian. Amen. I know this. The everlasting arms are underneath, and there's nothing to fear. Let's lend an ear to what the Spirit of God wishes to impart. Jesus has something very special for someone before a benediction is given. Heaven never runs out of gifts. A gift is here for a man who prays to God how to get his children back. There's nothing you want on earth more than this. They are your reason for being. And God is on your side, sir, because your absent partner will not serve God. She resents your testimony for Jesus and has drifted far, far into the world system. So God is arranging for you to regain custody of the children, that you might raise them in the admonition and culture of the Lord. The circumstances will be miraculous so that all may know it is the hand of God. Give him the glory, my brother. And your joy is my joy. I'm simply and always the servant of Jesus. But I believe that the New Testament is for today. You've been to the meeting. This is a worldwide fellowship which flows toward one another's concern and burden. And Jesus is always invited to minister. This is not an organization or a program. Revival Time embraces the family of God. It moves within the household of faith and prospers by your love, your testimony, and your conviction with mine, that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.